given the circumstances, given the way I think, the way that I am is alcoholic, and I suffer from a disease that only spiritual experience can conquer, and that's where I am today. Before we get into all the spiritual stuff of 7, 8, 9, I just wanted to say that I'm an alcoholic and that there was a time in my recovery life where I really didn't want to be here, believe it or not. And, you know, it was ruining my life. I didn't like any of you. I was the angriest 23-year-old you ever meet. I felt deprived. I felt like my life wasn't worth living because I'd been... You know, I was all set up in my drinking. I drink during the week, get a little weird on the weekends, and, you know, that's the way it was, and I was content doing that. Only the fact that in my mind, it was like, but in actuality, I was drinking basically every day, having really, really bad personal relationships, emotionally unstable, unemployable, and acting out on all types of character defects. My life was driven by character defects. There was nothing but character defects. So it was like, okay, man, you know, yeah, I'll meet you. Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, I'll be there at like 8 o'clock tonight. And then like 7 o'clock comes around and I'm on my way there, and then all of a sudden some cute blonde walks by and I'm there. And I totally forget that, like, I just promised you I'd be there. Like, that's the way I live. And lived in recovery for a long time. So, defects of character just continued to run my life. That's all I knew. It was impulsiveness, compulsiveness, you name it. Everything was just, that's the way I lived, and that's the way I felt I needed to live. Because that's the only way I knew how, was to somehow, the goal of my entire life was to meet these instinctual drives, to meet these desires that I had. So, whatever that may be, it's individualized for, you know, each person has its own way, you know, has their own feelings of, this is what I need, this is what I want. And through the inventories that we talked about last week, you know, we start to get down to the causes and conditions, and that's what we see, you know, and in that, the way we are living is based on just these need to fulfill these instinctual drives. And in step 7, all of a sudden, after I've done this lengthy inventory and I've spoke about it with my sponsor, and I've really come to understanding that this is something I have now completed, and I'm satisfied when back at the previous steps, I can see that in step 7, all of a sudden, I start having a choice. It's not like all of a sudden I just want to, all of a sudden I'm going to start doing what I don't want to do. That's once again kind of trying to do with myself. It's that all of a sudden I felt like I had a choice where I didn't have to be so impulsive. I didn't have to be so dishonest. You know, that I saw that letting go of that stuff, being in this perfect position to let go of all these inner defects, enabled me to start to live like a decent human being. It started making me feel like I could be honest with you, and I didn't have to be scared of what you thought or felt about me. I started to feel this power flow in, and all of a sudden, for me, in my experience, the drink problem seemed to really kind of go away. I mean, even at this point, before I started making any amends or any lifts. I started to feel this powerful, and that was like an incredible experience. And it was like all of a sudden I had plugged into the flow of the universe. You know, I had plugged into this what we call God. I had plugged into the stream of life, and I felt like I was finally on the right path. So with that, I started to actually think that things were just fine and that I wouldn't have to go do anything else in my recovery because I'm lazy. So that's, you know, that's a lovely defective character that still boggles me. You know, like the frustrating part about recovery is that the frustrating part about this defect of character stuff is that I still live with some of them. So it's like, even though I want to be rid of them, but God sees fit to leave them with me, I don't know. You know, this is like the riddles of our existence as human beings, you know, and so it's frustrating when I'm just like, oh man, can you just like take this from me? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sick of this. But not yet. You know what I mean? Like, I just gotta hold on to it for a little while longer. I'm ready, but I'm not ready. You know? And like, so in the inventory that we did, I saw that the grosser handicap size that I was ready to, like, really truly in this perfect place in space and time in my life to let go of the things that were truly blocking me from this spirit, this energy within me that I was being blocked from because I was living so propelled by these instinctual drives. So I started to see that they were objectionable. All right, and so in that perfect place and time, I was ready to have God remove these defects of character, and He did. So that's what, all of a sudden, I just felt like, oh, this isn't really just some crazy place that we all come to talk about problems. Like, this is an actual way of life that I can, it's applicable to me. I can do it. You know what I mean? And so, with all this being said, I started feeling good. You know, for the first time, I think, in my life, I started for the first time feeling some freedom from the bondage of self, you know? Because once the alcoholic insanity, once this obsession was lifted from me, I'm left with the spiritual malady that we talked about. What's what we do here, you know what I mean? It's what we try to tend to. And when I tend to that first, I clear it mentally and physically. And that's what I started to actually feel. And I was like, oh, man. So all of a sudden, you know, the depression, excitement, and anxiety that I basically always felt my entire life started to go away, you know. And even if it was for, like, a moment in time, you know what I mean, it was at least a glimpse of some peace, you know, that I was able to find, you know. And it just propelled me to try to move forward in the program. And at the time, after I did this inventory, and I had this step 6 and 7, my sponsor relapsed, and, you know, he was really pretty devastating. You know, like, I had probably, like, 2 years of sobriety. And you know, it was just, like, devastating. I kicked up a lot of feelings of, like, all the abandonment and rejection and everything like that. And I was just, like, I didn't, like, know what to do. And so I, you know, by the grace of God, I just got enough will to ask this other guy to take me through steps 8 and 9. And so we did, we started to make this list, and it was, you know, I'm going to make my amends now, later, and at the time, it was a bunch of years ago, it was never. And so, you know, the ones that I was going to make now were obviously to, like, family, definitely family and some close friends, and the ones in the middle were people that I hadn't seen in a while, but I probably could find. And the ones that were never at the time were like ex-girlfriends that, you know, I was just in horrific relationships with. And probably the best amends to them was just to never talk to them again. but I have to be, you know, now I understand that I have to be willing because, needless to say, I did try to find all of them, you know, I mean, it just didn't work. But I have to be willing to, if I ever cross paths with them, which I don't know, maybe I will, you know, I have to be ready to make that amend. So the never list is more, like we talked about, willing, that I'm willing to do, you know, at some point if the time comes. And so as I'm making this list, I'm thinking to myself, man, this is like, this is a lot to ask, you know. This is a lot to ask for me to have to go approach all these people and make direct amends to them, like face-to-face stuff, you know? And, you know, I thought it was over when I did an inventory. You know, I made an inventory, it was so long. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, I just don't, can't believe it. I actually have to, like, you know, really clean up the wreckage of my past. And this is to go, you know, in my experience, steps 8 and 9 are really about me and you. You know what I mean? It's about me and you and understanding that for the first time, I'm really going to start to end this isolation, this deep-seated isolation between me and you and between me and God and between the world and myself. And I see that my personal relationships, you know, 8 and 9 are about my personal relationships. And they said, like, somebody keeps saying this, they say, you know, this disease comes in like a personal relationship, you know, like it comes, you know, in my inability to relate to you no matter how desperately I try, because I'm the actor and always will be, and that's, you know, the actor has to arrange everything, the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and when it doesn't come off well, you know, it's just that's the way it is. And for the first time, I felt like, oh, okay, just do this inventory, and now I'm cleaning up the wreckage of my past, so I don't have to be that actor. And so, it's just about me going to be face to face with you. Is about my personal relationships, you know, and the ability for me to look you in the eye and say, listen, man, you know, I was wrong, and that I'm living this new way of life, and that, you know, it's all good. And they look at, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was fine. What happened? And so I started to even feel more relief and started to experience some of those promises in step 9, you know, like a new freedom. A new freedom for me was understanding that I didn't have to, that a new freedom for me was to be in a real relationship with you, where like I didn't, like a real friendship, you know, because it talks about way back in step 4, you know, the inability to be a worker amongst workers. We never wanted that. I never wanted to be a worker amongst workers. I never wanted to be a friend amongst friends. You know, either wanted to dominate you or I either wanted to, you know, hide beneath the pile and worship you. You know what I mean? I never wanted to be in the middle. You know what I mean? For whatever reasons, you know, I just never wanted that. And that's, you know, steps 7, 8, 9, you know, we're talking about humility and we're talking about personal relationships, you know, and humility for me was, you know, something I don't know anything. I didn't know anything about humility. And today, when I get, like, rocketed today, when I feel so unbelievably good, is when I am just a worker amongst workers, when I'm just a friend amongst friends. That is the best feeling. And that is why I love coming to this meeting particularly, because I've been to a lot of AA meetings recently where it's like the faces are, they'll never know. Like, it seemingly they'll never know. They'll never have that precious gift of being in that position to be in a perfect relationship with somebody. You know, and like the spirit of recovery is in this room. You know, it's here, and if you're here, you have a shot to understand what this stuff is about. I never really knew that I, you know, like I said, I came into AA. I had no idea that my alcoholism was in some way, shape, or form related to a spiritual illness, but really what that means is that I was consciously separated from my higher power. A willingness to say, all right, I don't need any type of spiritual help. I don't need any type of understanding of the universe, understanding of the energies and the flows and all these different types of things. I didn't have any need for that because I was going to run the show. I was going to do whatever I needed to do. And I didn't know that all this was like connected. You know, was that my drinking was in some way, shape, or form related to my longing for the connection to that, the connection to you. You know what I mean? And so as my sponsor said today, you know, God is within every man, woman, child. So if I'm blocked off from you, you know, I'm blocked off from God. And so, like, for me, that meant approaching people, particularly a guy that I just hated. You know what I mean? Like, I just hated with every fiber of my being. You know, there's at least one or two. And one of them was in AA. And so, you know, I had to approach him, and it didn't work, you know. F you, I don't want anything to do with you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I'm sorry you feel that way, you know? And so, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I mean, that's what I did. I had to approach this guy, you know what I mean? I had to do, well, how can I come up here and talk about a 9-step amend if I wasn't willing to do that, you know? And I know there's a lot of different, in the big book, you know, they don't give us much leeway. There's a lot of description, which I didn't even know until recently, that there's a lot of descriptions of the specific amends, you know, domestic, criminal. There's all different types of amends in there. Family, and, you know, and really, I know people who have, you know, they have put the consequences in the universe's hand, and they have gone to do these incredible amends, and some of them have jeopardized their future, jeopardized their freedom. You know, I mean, someone very close to me was almost facing 7 years in prison to make an amends. You know what I mean? And he had to do it. And so, you know, when somebody asks you, you know, are you willing, when I ask guys that I'm working with, you know, are you willing to go to any length? You know, some of the times, if I remember at that given moment, I say, yeah, are you willing to go to any lengths like that? Are you willing to make an amends? Are you willing to approach a guy that you can't stand, that justified anger? You know, and so that's the type of stuff that we do here. It's an amazing, amazing process. And so I just want to say to end with this, the personal relationships that I have today are so amazing and peaceful and calm and loving and full of richness and abundance. And those are the personal relationships that I never would have unless I was doing this stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous. Something I never wanted. I never wanted this stuff, but that's what I got, you know? And so I started to understand in AA that anything was possible. Anything was possible. And it's just so good to be here, and this has been a real honor for me in my life, you know what I mean? And I really, I used to come here when I had like a year or a year and a half and be like, man, these people, there's something in this room, you know, like these old timers, you know, there's something, they're drinking something in that coffee or something like that, you know, like, and I was just in such awe of everyone who was sharing here and doing the series, and I said, man, one day would really love to do that, and, you know, about 7 or 8 years later, that's the case, so I'm grateful to be here, really, thank you for sharing.